Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLX. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Sunday is Father's Day. No one really knows its origins. In the United States, the first modern Father's Day celebration was held on July 5, 1908, in Fairmont, West Virginia. It was first celebrated as a church service to commemorate the lives of 361 men, many of them fathers, who lost their lives in a deadly mine explosion the previous December. President Calvin Coolidge recommended it as a national holiday in 1924. While people had celebrated the holiday for generations, it was not an official national holiday until 1972, when Richard Nixon was president. My father is a carpenter, and I am a carpenter's son, and am proud to know the trade. Some of my earliest memories of my father involve me lying in my warm bed, listening to him prepare for work in the morning, the radio playing in the background. My mother would prepare his breakfast, most often bacon and eggs, and he would leave the house before dawn after kissing my mother goodbye, black lunchbox in one hand and thermos of coffee in the other. He left 6 days a week, rain or shine, in blazing heat or sub-zero weather, only to return 10 hours or more later, bone-weary, covered with sweat, mud, occasionally a little blood, but always sawdust, inevitably sawdust. I was born when he was 21. My two sisters came shortly after. He built a business from a one-man operation to a small, successful construction company that supported, at its height, perhaps a dozen families. One time when I was about 16 and working for him, I made an error in the measurement of a board, made a sloppy cut, ignored it, and nailed the board in place, a place I knew no one would ever see when drywall covered it in a week or so. An hour later, I heard him ripping it out. I think the whole neighborhood did. And when I told him that no one would ever see it, he replied, "That's true, but you and I will know that it's there for the rest of our lives." From him, I learned the virtues of hard work, pride in one's work, craftsmanship, and forgiveness. Since our religious leaders often consider the complex relationships between fathers and their children, I turn to three I know to seek their thoughts on fathers. Let's go in depth with Pastor Jeff Shydock of the First Christian Reformed Church Pella, Pastor Sophie Matinee Vanderwell of the Second Reformed Church of Pella, and Pastor John Chadwick of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Knoxville. I interviewed Pastor Shydock first. What does Father's Day mean to you?
Father's Day is a time to honor my own father, to give thanks for the way he has affected my life, the way he has taught me and raised me. An opportunity to express to him gratitude. My father was a good, strong man, a strong influence in my life. He loved me dearly. He wasn't the type to say so. He wasn't the type to express that very often. But I knew he was there, and I knew of his love for me. And that's an opportunity for me to honor him and give thanks for his input in my life.
Why do you think fathers sometimes have a hard time sharing at least vocally their love?
Well, I think part of that is the way that we are raised, especially as young children. We're encouraged not to show our feelings. For young girls and for women, it's more acceptable to show a range of emotions. I think there's been a good change that it's become more acceptable for men to show their feelings. And there have been some men's movements that have encouraged men to take a more active role in raising their children, a more active role in demonstrating their own emotions, doing things to express a blessing to their own children. So I think there's been some positive change, but traditionally big boys don't cry, and so men generally are encouraged not to share their emotions.
What if a father seeks to break new ground in sharing his emotions? Any advice?
Well, I think that they will find a welcome reception from their own children, from their families. With my own father, as I said, he was not one that was real expressive. But a couple of years ago, my father had never had the opportunity really to hear me preach, and so my wife sent some tapes of my sermons to him. And one of my regular phone calls, I call him every weekend, he said, "Yeah, we've been listening to your tapes, and they're really good. We're really proud of you." And I about dropped the phone. My father would never normally say something like that, but the fact that he did was a blessing that was spoken deeply into my life, and I'll never forget that phone conversation and what that meant to me as an assurance that my father approves of and is proud of the things that I do. He also later in life started giving hugs, which astonished me the first time he did it, but it's a warm, welcome thing, and I am always glad to go home and to embrace my father and to feel his love in that physical kind of way. So I think if you're a father who hasn't done much of that, go ahead and try it. You'll be delighted with the response you get from your family.
How are you and your father most alike?
I think I got a little bit of, I will call it determination. My family might call it stubbornness, but commitment to what I think is right. My father knew what he thought was right, and he would stand by that, and I think some of that has been handed on.
Both the virtue and potentially a little vice?
Yeah, you have to be careful with that kind of determination or stubbornness, whatever you want to call it. Make sure that it's the determination for what's good and right and not a stubbornness to reject what somebody else might be doing. So, yeah, it's a tight line to walk there.
Any advice for daughters and sons with respect to honoring their fathers or even thinking about their fathers?
Well, I think there are cases where it may be a very difficult thing to find a way to honor your father and your mother, as the command says. There are times where a family situation is not good and there are deep wounds and deep hurts. And it may take some time to come to a point of being able to find those things that are honorable and express those things, whether directly to a father. Sometimes the father has passed on or it's not possible. But finding some way to come to terms with that. Our parents have a strong influence on our lives, and we need to understand that and affirm what has been good that our parents have poured into our lives.
Does greater understanding of one's parents come with age, with a little bit of seasoning on an individual?
Absolutely. As you raise children, you understand more and more of what your parents were doing and why they did some of the things that they did. And there are those scary, eerie, delightful moments when you realize that you said, I'll never do what my dad did, and here you are saying or doing the exact same thing. And suddenly there's a realization. There was a reason why they were acting the way they were doing or the things that they were doing. And you realize they were probably wiser than you were giving them credit for.
More in depth after this. I stopped by Pastor Sophie Matinee Vanderwaal's office. Would you like to share any lessons that your father taught you?
Well, one of the things about my father was that he was a very adventurous man. When he was about 18, 19, he left his home and traveled to Asia. He lived in Japan for a year to learn Japanese. And so that's when he got married later, with my mom going back to Japan, and I was born there. And so really one of the things my dad taught me was the sense of wanting to discover the world, know more about the world, visit places, learn about people, get a sense of kind of not just staying in your own cocoon, but going out there and discovering more. And I think, you know, my curiosity about the world, my desire to know other people, to travel, all of that came from my father.
Anything you'd like to tell him now?
What would I like to tell him? Boy, you're putting me on the spot. I think I would like to tell him that I love him and that he has meant a lot to me.
Any advice for modern-day fathers?
Oh, I think the same advice I would give to mothers and to fathers. Just be present for your children. Listen to them. Talk with them. Share your stories, your life with them. Pay attention to their needs, their dreams, their desires, so that when they, in fact, you know, grow up, they will continue to turn to you.
Advice to daughters and sons.
Oh, boy. I guess the advice I'd give to my children, my daughters, would be patient with us. Yeah, we know more than you think sometimes.
More in depth after this. I interviewed Pastor John Chadwick next. Tell me about your dad.
Dad was born in a farm outside of Nevada, Iowa. He and his brother. The house is gone now, but I've gone back and taken pictures of where the house was, and the old barn still standing there, and some of the outbuildings, and even the old outhouse. I remember Dad talked about the times when he went to ISU. He would walk in town in all seasons, because they were pretty poor, and catch a ride with a man who would take him over to Ames to go to college, and then that's how we got back, too. So he developed out of that period of time, of which I think what we call the greatest generation did, a huge work ethic. And that's what he, and I'd have to use the word gently, Bob, he gently gave to me. It wasn't, you have to do this, and that's, you need to do this, or I'm not going to love you or get any food, or, you know, there was no threatening. It was, oh, here's a lawnmower in your junior high days, see how many lawns you can mow. So I'd have 10 or 12 lawns in the neighborhood, because that's the way kids earn money then. And I thought that was the greatest things in the world. I don't think I realized how much my father absolutely loved me till one day he came home in 1969, the end of that year, and said, well, your car's getting pretty old, the first one that he helped me buy. He said, you need a new one. And he says, I already got it for you. I thought, oh, my gosh, what did my dad get me? Well, we went down to the car lot in Ottumwa, and here was a 1969 car that had been repossessed by the bank, and it was a bright red Charger RT with the black vinyl top and a 440 in it. And it was just, to this day, I don't know if he really knew how much horsepower was in that thing, but I managed not to kill myself, and he was pretty proud that he could buy that for me. That also made me realize that he probably went without some things to buy that too. When I graduated from high school, again, terribly proud, same way with college and seminary. He was also the kind of dad that wasn't afraid to give hugs. And I remember when I'd go off to college, even, I gave him a big hug, and people, even my buddies would go, you still give your dad a hug and kiss him on the cheek? And that was our family. I didn't saw nothing wrong with that. So up until the day he died, I gave him hugs and kisses. And interesting enough, our boys give me hugs and kisses. So grandpa's legacy continues. But the work ethic was something I remember so well.
And he worked at the Iowa Gas and Electric Company, right, you told me.
Yeah. Out of Ottumwa all of his life. He was superintendent, which meant he drove around in usually something like a Falcon station wagon with a big two-way radio antenna that went 4,000 feet in the air and the yellow flashing light. Again, I look back going, I don't know why he let me do this, but I learned to drive a stick by driving that silly Ford Falcon up and down the driveway with the yellow light flashing. And it's just amazing looking back on my serious, very serious, you know, math major father. Let me do these things. He'd take me on calls occasionally with him. Once in a while, I remember one time we had a pipe. Someone had, on purpose, ruptured a huge pipe going into Ottumwa. So by the time we got out there, his crew was out there, but also the police department. And just to see him get along with his men was a great lesson that I really appreciated when he retired. These were the days when a lot of guys would join the crew of the gas company and not even complete high school. So 8th and 9th grade educations, perhaps. And these are, you know, pretty rough guys. Many came up to me afterwards as they came up to him and said, you know, your dad was the only boss that did not talk down to us. When we were in the trenches digging the gas pipes, he'd hop in there with us with his clothes on, his little bit nicer clothes on. If they got dirty, it didn't matter to him. And he said, you'll never know what that meant to us to be treated normal. Dad felt very strongly that we were all equal, and there's no reason why anybody is better than the other. But he didn't preach it. Looking back, he was one of those guys that lived it.
Thanks to Pastors Jeff Shydock, Sophie Matinee-Vanderwell, and John Chadwick for contributing to the program. And thanks to you too, Dad. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
Will you load 16 tons? What do you get? Another day older than...
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIA KLLS.